Welcome to When Mothers Lead, a podcast created by Motherful, a soulful grassroots collective of single mothers. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Lisa.
And we will discuss how you can be a part of this movement and what the world will look like when mothers lead.
I see the mothers marching. I hear the mothers singing. I feel the mothers grieving. I see the mothers leading.
Welcome to our podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Heidi Howes.
I am Lisa Woodward.
And we are the co-directors and co-founders of the Motherful organization.
Yes, Motherful is a Black, Indigenous, Mothers of Color-led, multiracial grassroots collective of single moms in Columbus, Ohio. And our mission is to support, empower, and nurture single mother families through the community. We are so excited that this is happening. This is our first podcast, and we are excited, and we celebrate it.
Yes, especially because our very, very beloved friend is our first guest today, and her name is Rhiannon Carnes. Thank you for coming, Rhiannon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Yes. So we want to give a quick intro to our beautiful friend. Rhiannon Carnes is the executive director and co-founder of Ohio Women's Alliance and Ohio Women's Alliance Action Fund. And Rhiannon's drive to make change and create brave spaces to build community runs deep. As the daughter, I love that you have your mom in your bio, like front and forward. This is beautiful. As the daughter of a lifelong artist, writer, and advocate, Faye Childs, Rhiannon's mom, Rhiannon knew from a young age that if you want to see real change happen, you have to get to work. And that philosophy led her mom to eventually become a leader in Black publishing and the founder of Blackboard, an organization that uplifted Black authors in a publishing landscape characterized by gross underrepresentation of BIPOC communities. In 2016, Rhiannon became increasingly outraged as the presidential race played out. The same racism and sexism she had experienced throughout her life were playing out on the national stage, eventually leading to the election result that meant America could no longer pretend white supremacy was a thing of the past. As a Black single mother, survivor of gun violence, and a military veteran, she could not be silent as extremist conservatives tried to chip away at the freedom, dignity, and humanity of BIPOC communities, especially Black women. Rhiannon turned to her mother, RIP mom, for guidance and wisdom, who encouraged her to get to work. So a few days after the election, Rhiannon found the Women's March via Facebook. The organizers were looking for someone to lead Ohio's march in 2017. With a corporate and healthcare background, Rhiannon did not have experience with community organizing, but she said yes anyways, of course. There are not too many Black women. That's right. There are not too many Black women or women of color in this new feminist movement. I knew this was a movement where all women had to come together. I finally felt that women of color could have a voice and be leaders in this movement, so I took it as an opportunity to use my voice. That's from Rhiannon. So she became the founder and leader of Ohio Women's March. And then, in 2019, Rhiannon and Aaron Scott began meeting over coffee to share their hopes for an Ohio that prioritizes the well-being, prosperity, and liberation of BIPOC women and gender-expansive folks, especially Black women. They envisioned a year-round organizing group that centers grassroots leaders in Ohio. To get started, they set out on a statewide listening tour to identify the issues that impact our constituents the most, the challenges we face, and the hopes and priorities we have for the future of our communities. The tour led to Ohio Women's Alliance, Pillars of Prosperity, they're called, which is the values platform that laid the foundation for the official launch of Ohio Women's Alliance in late 2019 and the OWA Action Fund in 2020. Since then, Rhiannon's accomplishments have been celebrated across Ohio. in Cosmopolitan, and most recently by the Tides Foundation, who named her one of five national reproductive justice heroes and one of the 2022 Jane Bagley Lehman Award winners. Yes!
Boom!
So well deserved, and we're so excited to have you, Rhiannon. This is, you know, I started realizing we've got like amazing friends who are doing massive work who are all mothers. And so we are so excited to welcome you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. As you can see, I have my baby right in tow, obviously literally by my side. So if you see me like glancing away, it's probably like trying to keep her from eating my plants right now.
Don't eat the plants note. Baby notes. Oh my God, we're so excited, and we're so glad you brought her with you, because we want to remind mothers that our mothering is a part of who we are. It's a part of our work. That's what this podcast is all about. Yeah. And so, thank you for being the example, really, out the gate.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're gonna start with our main focus today is going to be reproductive justice. Yes. And we just want to ask you, Rhiannon, to share, you know, about maybe start with like your definition of reproductive justice, and inform people who maybe don't know what reproductive justice is per se. And then just share whatever you'd like to share about, you know, the fight right now in Ohio specifically, and anything that you want our listeners to know about reproductive justice in general.
Yes. Reproductive justice was founded by a group of Black women as a matter of a protest, and actually a pushback against a white feminist movement that basically silenced their voices and erased their humanity and existence and motherhood when it came to the fight for reproductive rights. And so a group of Black women came together and defined what reproductive justice means to them. And it extends beyond abortion access. I think when we talk about the reproductive movement, we always just typically associate it with reproductive rights and obviously abortion access, but it's so much more to that. Actually, reproductive choice. When it comes to reproductive justice, it's not just about the choice, it's about having access to those choices. Right. And so what reproductive justice means, it is the ability to decide when you want to have a child or not to have a child, because children aren't for everyone. And also to be able to raise your child in a healthy, sustainable environment and having the autonomy to make those decisions for yourself, your body, your family, and your community. And so that is how reproductive justice was founded. And Ohio Women's Alliance, we really build all of our view on how we approach the work, our mission and vision, the way we interact with the community, the issues that we address, and how we service people every single day through a reproductive justice lens.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I could listen to you talk about that forever.
I will say, because she talked on motherhood, you know, I will say, like, just transparently, like, I am 45 years old, so I feel like I am a generational mother. Like, I hold so many roles when it comes to motherhood. Like, I have a 26-year-old, I have a granddaughter, I'm a bonus mom to 7 children. I'm also have been an adopted mother as well. Those children are grown now, so I've held. And also I've raised like my siblings. So I hold so many roles when it comes to motherhood, you know, over my entire life that I feel like without mothering, like, I don't even know like who I am, like, without mothering. And so at 45, I have a 11-month-old. I chose to do this again. I ask myself every day, like, what did I get myself into? But I mean, yeah, it's just fulfilling, like, with my 26-year-old, you know, him being grown and self-sufficient. And I'm just so proud, as, you know, when I birthed him, I was 18 years old. I got pregnant at 17 and I birthed him at 18. And obviously, you know, I didn't know what my future held. And I was just told so much daunting stories of what my life would be. But I mean, my son is incredible. Like, he's He's in graduate school right now. Like, the most, I would say, the most important moment in my life, out of all the things that I've been through, the most important thing in my life was when he graduated from high school, because so many people told me what he was not going to be and what I was not going to be. So I just, you know, I'm just uplifting, like, that motherhood is expansive, and that, you know, it's not just about birthing children. There's so many motherly roles that we hold, and I hold, you know, so many, including the birthing, but so many other roles that I hold in mothering people.
Oh,
Yeah,
yes.
that's deep. I totally understand that. I was a mom at 18, and I have a 29-year-old. So it was it's a big gap, and I don't know how I would feel without being a mom right now. It's hard to imagine that. Can you speak more about how your mother influenced your leadership, since you have all of these like roles inside of mothering?
Yeah, I feel like motherhood is just so complex. And, you know, I was reading something the other day, and it might have been something you sent me, Heidi, that said that, like, our eggs are produced, like, within our grandmothers. Like, we are
There you go.
literally born, you know, into motherhood within our grandmother's womb. And so I feel like we are literally born into this society, world, framework, whatever you want to call it. With this perception, especially if you're born female, to be a mom, and it's already like within you. So I feel like mothering and the concept of motherhood honestly started with me at a very, very young age, with like assisting my mom with my little brothers. I have little brothers that are 10 years younger than me, and I definitely feel like a mother figure to them. And I think that is just so common, especially with women of color, because of like so many different disparities and gaps and oppression that sits on our shoulders. And so we have to fulfill so many roles, and it literally is a communal effort to raise children, and starting with helping our mothers support the children that they have. And so, like, mothering, you know, started with me. I almost want to say, you know, according to science, at conception, like,
Yeah, all those
literally,
eggs. That's so crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. And so, like, I started out at a very young age from just like caring for my siblings, babysitting them, you know, my mom like believing in me probably sooner than I probably should have been believed, as far as like taking care of like little kids. But yeah, that's where I feel like just the role and the societal expectation of what motherhood is, as far as like caring for people, started probably when I was like 10 years old and caring for them.
Yeah, it's like second nature.
That's
Just
right.
being nurturing.
Yeah.
It's something you don't have to think about.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think your mom, for example, because she was such a powerful leader, and just entrepreneur, and she was like, I don't want to say ahead of her time, but she was so
Yeah.
powerful, you know. And you would say she was ahead of her time. So what do you think she taught you about the intersection of work and leadership and motherhood by her example, or by like her words, or
Yeah, also, you know, just to kind of give you a picture of my mother. My mother, you know, she became a mom at a very young age. She put her first child up for adoption, and then she went on to get married, then divorced. And I will say that then after, my mom was like the first queer person of color that I ever seen. And my mom was very unapologetic as far as like who she was and the decisions that she made in her life. And she just showed up like my mom just did not care about what anyone had to say about her.
Yes, babe.
And and I just feel like that is because of that, like, she literally showed up like, this is who I am, and it forced people to accept her, you know, as the person she was. And so, you know, as I was younger, like, you know, you're confused, obviously, you know, because society tells you one thing and then family life looks another way. But my mom, as I'm like older and reflecting back, I just think about like how courageous and how powerful she was and how resilient she was to not to conform to society expectations and to be her true self and do what made her happy in her life. Right. But yeah, I mean, my mother was like, she's literally, when I say that she's the reason why I'm here today, it's more than just like, you know, literally, but figuratively. Yeah. Like, I would not be doing movement work if it was not for my mother, if it wasn't for my upbringing and watching her. Literally, I went to the 50th anniversary of the Million Man March when I was like 5 years old or something like that. Wow. And my mom organized like buses in the Black community to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So my mom was a community organizer before I even knew what community organizing was. And the most ironic part about it is that my mom wrote a book, and when I began like community organizing myself in 2016, like I didn't even associate like what I was raised up and viewing all my life. I didn't, because when you're in it, you don't really realize like
what it is. Yeah.
You don't really realize what it is, and you don't really realize history that you're making in those moments too.
Right.
And
right.
So when I read her book, and like it was like the prefix that. In the beginning of the book, I start reading her journey to organizing the people for the march, and I'm like, it was the March on Washington. I'm sorry, the March on Washington. And I was like, I just organized buses to Washington D.C. for a march. Like, I didn't even put those things together. Like, it was learned. Like, it was in me. It wasn't something that I just did on my own. You know, it was taught. You know, like people invested in me, people poured into me. And my mother was like instrumental in that. And she's the main reason why, you know, I do this work today. And even when I decided to like join the Women's March, she's the one that encouraged me to said, you need to reach out to people, you know, to see how you can get more involved. Like if this is your passion, this is your heart work, then you need to do it. And so if it was not for her, I wouldn't even have the courage if it was not for my mom.
Right.
So last thing I'll say about that is that you need like leadership is not in a silo. Like leadership is with the pouring and investment into you. And it comes from, you know, others' labor as well and others' belief into you. My leadership role is, you know, some folks want to take like all the credit. Like I cannot take all the credit for the leadership role that I am in. Like I would not be in this role without the generations of people who've invested in me. And also without the current people on my staff, on my team, on my community, and Motherful, and the people who continue to uplift the work that I do every single day.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Because, and I think that's such a powerful shout out that you just gave, and an example of the way that mothers can powerfully lead, especially Black mothers like yourself. You know,
that legacy she left. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's what is really important. So since you were raised by a queer mom, did you, at what point did you become radicalized? Was it like because of your mom, or was there like one specific incident where it's like, wow, because it sounds like you've been doing this since you were a baby. So I'm thinking that was the way to your, the path to your radicalization.
I mean, I feel like, you know, when I came into the work, I don't even know if I really reflected on the amount of labor into motherhood, because again, it's like so not talked about. It's so much shamed and stigmatized that I didn't even really associate myself in this work as a mom. I think first and foremost, like what gravitated me most to this work and the identity that I hold was me being a woman and me being Black. And so those were the two associations that came to me. And like initially when the struggles that I've had in my life in fields that are dominated by white folks, white men, white supremacy, I really associated that as deficits within myself is the reason why I can't promote, or why I'm not being valued, or why I'm not being seen. Like me not, you know, being able to speak loud enough, or me not being meeting the level of what the work expects of me. And it really wasn't until 2016 when I seen more women speaking out about the injustices that they faced. And so then I started to really realize like it wasn't okay, that it wasn't like a problem with me per se, like it's society and what society like makes us believe. Like literally, like this culture of oppression runs so deep that you also start to internalize it for yourself, and you don't even like associate, you can't even distinguish the difference between yourself and what society has told you who you are. And so for me initially it was my gender and my race, and then eventually, you know, you start to like think about all the other identities that you hold, and mothering and motherhood, you know, is obviously one of them. But when it comes to like, you know, motherhood, I just feel like it's so difficult to like show up confident, you know, for yourself, because again, like there's so much shame and stigma around to mothering. Like, you know, you can't be too young, but wait a minute, you can't be too old either. you know, even like what, like now, just the age of social media, and you know, you want to share things of your children and of yourself, but you have to be mindful. I see myself before I post a pic, like make sure no one's going to come for me, like making sure, you know, the car seat is like has the right straps or whatever on it, and if you're using one of those, you know, wraps around your body, then it's in a right placement, you know, because if not, people are definitely going to, you know, come for you and have their feels and their say about it. So it's like, you know, you're constantly shamed and stigmatized around motherhood. And so, you know, when it comes to like being a leader and being a mom, it's like no wonder it's difficult, because if people are telling you every single day like what you should not be as a mom, then how can you show up as a leader and tell folks like who you are, who you should be, and why they should support you in that role as a leader?
And now that you have Note, I'm just going with this organically, like now that you have Note and you're leading this incredible organization, I mean, two organizations really, but these, you know, it's growing rapidly, and your influence is just, and your impact has been massive, right? On the state, on the country, you know, especially, you know, with the win we just had. That y'all were instrumental in, you know, with issue one, right? And we have abortion on the ballot coming up now in Ohio, which is, thank goddess, you know? And you were instrumental in that work. Can you share about that a little bit, about like the fight right now, you know, the struggle right now here in Ohio, and also share about like, growing, you know, now you have Note and you just stepped into this ED role where you were a co-director, now you're the sole ED, as the other founder, Aaron Scott, transitioned out, and wondering, like, being a mom now, in this position now, that's brand new for you, like, how are you, first of all, about the struggle with issue one, and then also in the ballot, and then also, how are you, like, seeing how you can shift the culture of your organization as a mom and leader, right?
Yes, she's kicking me.
I mean, what do you want to shift, like, within the org too, you know? So that's a lot of question, but
I mean, I'll start with, like, you know, just the political climate in Ohio. I think Ohio, people forget that Ohio is a hostile state. You know, for decades, there has been extremist politician to take away from our voting power. And, you know, when it comes to voting, it is not everything when we think about our liberation. Like, there's other things that are involved when it comes to making sure that we have the things that we need and that we are able to live and survive and thrive. But policy is one of those things, and legislation is one of those things, because there are people in place who are making decisions on our behalf, regardless of whether, you know, we know that we are capable of taking care of ourselves and that we can provide the services, you know, that we need in our community. when we have the resources and tools to do so. Like, no one else better knows what we need than us. But there are people who are going to be actively working against us every single day, and we have to be aware of the opposition.
Yeah.
And so, because if not, we're just working hard, ourselves harder and harder for no reason. And so, extremist politicians have literally been trying to chip away at our rights in Ohio, and I think Ohio is like perceived as this Midwest swing state, you know, purple state. But we have becoming increasingly red, and it's gerrymandering and cheating. Like, these extremist politicians cheat to get what they want, and it's taking away from our voting power. And so what issue one was reflective of was the people's voice and the people's power and the people's vote. And because we put the abortion on the ballot for people to address as an issue, separate from candidates, separate from politicians, as a straight issue to impact your lives, they seen that as a threat, and rightfully so, because the majority of Ohioans support abortion access. The majority of Americans support abortion access. When we get straight to the issues, people know what they want and what is right for their life.
Yes.
And so with issue one, they tried to undermine the people's vote and the people's voice and take that away from them. And they answered right back and said, no, you won't. And so it was a monumental win for us. And a percentage of people who came out for that win is the same percentage of people who support abortion access. So we know that we will win in November. They know that we will win in November, and they continue to try to do everything that they can to undermine us. But, you know, we are stronger than that. We are resilient. We will persevere, and we will get our message across. And so when it comes to this, you know, this harder fight in November, we are out here, you know, talking to folks every single day. We're calling people. We're at community engagement events, and we are asking folks too to talk to your family, talk to your friends, and also to remind you that voting is also power, and that voter registration ends on October 10th. So please make sure your voter registration is up to date. You know, people move, especially my people, like people of color have a higher rate of like moving and changing to different addresses. Make sure your voter registration is up to date. You can look at OhioWomen'sAlliance.org, our website. We have a whole voting page for you and address all your voting needs, whether you need to register, whether you need to update your voter registration. You can do all of those things, and you can find out when the election takes place as well. But when it comes to November 7th, that is election day, you need to vote, and you need to vote yes on issue one. I don't care what you do that day. Yes. Or you need to vote by that day, because yes, this is yes on issue one.
This is yes. This time it's yes.
Yes, this time it's yes.
Last time it was no. This time it's yes.
This time it's yes. And you can even vote before then. So, you know, find out your polling location. Find out when the early vote is. Find out when the early vote is, and you can vote at that time.
Yeah, don't apologize for
no
being
sorries.
A mom. No sorries for being a mom and bringing your baby with you. So the other question, end of that question, thank you for sharing that powerful piece. The other part of that question was, how is your mothering this time around, like with the birth of your new baby, like impacting your organization and the culture of your organization? I would love to hear about that, because I know you just invested in wellness for the women of color on your staff in a big way, and you took note with you on this wellness initiative. And so I'm just curious. I know you're on mute, right? It looks like you're on mute right now.
I am on mute because she's crying.
Oh, she's crying. Oh, poor baby.
Sorry.
All right. No, we'll give you a second.
Nah.
Hi, baby.
Hey.
Say hi. Is she time for a nap? Hi, baby.
Yeah, she's just at that age where she's like getting into all the things.
Yes, we know.
Yes.
Take your time.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, uplifting the importance of wellness. And although, you know, Ohio Women's Alliance is a power building organization where we, you know, dive into like civic engagement, education, you know, as well as the power voting and policy, We also are really rooted into making sure that we are well, healed, and restored. And that's so important because, like, when you are doing the type of work that we are doing, where you're fighting for your humanity and to be visible in a world that basically tells you that you're not important and your needs are not a priority, that weighs on you. It weighs on you in so many ways. It weighs on you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so for us, we have to make sure that first and foremost, that we are well and healed enough to be able to even show up in this work. And so, I'm really like trying to prioritize a culture of care within our organization. And there's so many things that goes into that. One of the things that we most recently did, I took my women of color staff on a wellness retreat to Panama. And so they spent a week surrounded by, just a beautiful scenery. The food was native to the land. It was a remote island that we were on. And so all they had to do was rest and eat good and just share.
You
And
forgot
share.
me.
I know.
Sorry,
I
next
said
year,
next
next
year I'm
year.
sending her
I got
with.
you.
I'm
Yes,
sending her.
next year. And but yeah, so we spent the week, but I also know like a week of wellness is not enough. Like, a week of intentional wellness is not enough. We need an everyday thing for us as well. And OWA, we go on a listening tour biannually, and we talk to folks, especially women of color, like what it is that they need. And 9 times out of 10, it is financial resources. It is money. I mean, like, we are aware of the gaps when it comes to the economic, gaps when it comes to women and women of color, just the lack of pay equity. And so we really like within our policies at OWA, like we're an organization that pays 100% of employee benefits. We're also an organization that provides a wellness stipend every month. We
That's
also,
good.
yeah, we do so much when it comes to our staff to make sure that they have all of the things that they need to make sure that the long-term wellness is in place. And we're very intentional about that.
And their
Love it.
long-term involvement in the org, the
Yes.
place they'd love to be.
Yes. That's the
Yeah.
other thing too. We make sure that we have salaries that are competitive with the like with national salaries as well too. And we revisit those every single year. And we have salary increases every year that are competitive with national standards.
And I know you like you have I mean currently I think you are you the only mother on your team right now?
I'm the only mother on my team. And so me being the only mom on my team, having these child policies in place, as a reproductive justice organization and me being the executive director, you would think that would be like easy, but like as the it isn't, because as the only mother on my team, like I have to make sure that I'm like making sure I'm thinking about like everyone on my team. But I also feel like it's hard to think about yourself. Like when you're always thinking about everybody else. And so because no one else has children, it's hard for me to like go back and prioritize myself and what my needs are and to not feel like I'm being, like selfish or anything like that. I think that's how we feel as moms. And so it has been a journey as far as like defining our child and parental policies are, but I am like revisiting those every single day and making sure that those are like more equitable every single day. Like I just increased our parental leave policy. Like it was at a place that I don't even feel like it was like that equitable. Like it was just like at a standard policy before. And I'm like, you know what? Like my staff deserves more than what I gave myself. So I'm gonna change the policy for it to be better for them.
Yeah, that's a good foundation because they will start having kids. Yeah.
Yes,
At
they
some
will.
point, somebody on your staff, so that's awesome.
And everything you're doing at OWA, we're so inspired. You know, I should say, Motherful has been mentored by Rhiannon and by her team, and
Yes.
you know, for years. So we're good friends. You know, we are just so inspired and informed, and our work is really, you know, informed by Ohio Women's Alliance and work that you've done, and we appreciate you so much, and we love you so much, and we love you too, Note. And
Yes. I think we
I
get
feel
her.
like
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I feel like we have really kicked the podcast off in a powerful way, because we're saying like, yeah, you can listen to babies on the podcast, you know,
Yeah,
and
you
maybe
can
there are other
breastfeed on
podcasts
the
out there that are
podcast.
doing that, breastfeeding on the podcast. Yes. And maybe there are other podcasts that have that going on, but I don't think it's the mainstream. So we will be doing that. So if you're listening, please, you know, give us some positive feedback, and make sure you're liking and sharing everywhere we're at, and let us know that mothering, as you know, being a leader as a mother, like, just give us a shout out and let us know that this is resonating for you.
Yes.
And I also want to share the love right back to Motherful, like all of the ways in which y'all like supported me and helped me too. Like I had to be reminded of myself, like one of the other roles that I hold in my life is being a mother and being able to embrace that boldly and out loud. And you know, with me birthing Note, like honestly, it gave me kind of like no choice, but I did have to make decisions that were for myself, you know, and for my daughter. And so like every single day, like, you know, I just said no to someone today. Like I had an interview last minute today and they asked me, could I attend it here? And I said no. I said no because I don't have childcare. So sorry. Like if you want me to show up to things, like I need a more advanced notice. And that's the way it is, you know, folks. Like I used to like just jump at every single thing. Like someone wanted me to be there, I was there. Like I would travel, I don't care how far it was, you needed me and I was there. And now like I acknowledge like that mothering is important to me and being there for my children is just as important as this work. And so sorry, and so there is a balance in that. And I'm going to prioritize what my capacity is that makes me stronger mentally, you know, and spiritually and physically. Like I'm taking care of myself and my body first and foremost, because if I'm not here, then, you know, my children aren't good, my family isn't good, and even my organization isn't good. So, you know, that mothering role has definitely been a friendly and constant reminder from you all, and especially thank you, Heidi, for all of the ways that you empower me and strengthen me and like make me stand up for myself, because I'm like, I don't know if I should do it, I don't know if I should do that. And you're like, no, you deserve it. As a mom, you deserve it. And so it helps me and encourages me. And it also is not just helpful for me, it's helpful for my team, my staff, and also as an example as a leader in this reproductive justice space for other people to follow.
Yes. And thank you. We love you. We love you.
Love you
Yes.
back. So much, so much.
When
And I
mothers
think,
lead.
yeah, so we have our signature like outro question that we're working up. And so, as you know, I wrote a song called When the Mothers Lead. And the song is kind of actually my vision for the song is that we're going to have a mother's march on Washington, and there'll be hundreds of thousands of mothers marching on Washington singing this song. So when the
Yes.
mothers lead, some of the verses are that I created are like the earth will be healed when the mothers lead. You know, we'll melt all the guns. I know some people don't agree with that, but when the mothers lead, the children will be safe. So when the mothers lead, Rhiannon, what do you think the world will be like?
Wow. That is a deep question. Because to your point, like there's so many things when mothers lead. But I think for me, when mothers lead,
Yeah, it could go so
I wish
many
I was more
ways.
prepared.
That's all right. You don't have to be
Yeah.
prepared, Virgo. It's a Virgo.
I mean, I feel like when mothers lead, our children will lead. That's what I feel. When mothers lead, our children will lead. Because my children, for me, like the things that that comes out of my children's mouths, I'm just like, I can't even believe it. But they always say like, well, mom, you taught me, you know, I got this from you. And I'm just so proud of them and the way that they show up for themselves and even their friends. And I just feel like when mothers lead, our children will be better leaders.
You didn't need to be prepared. That was perfect. Love it. Love it. Oh, wow. Thank you, Rhiannon, so much. Let us know
Thank you.
how can our listeners support Ohio Women's Alliance and Ohio Women's Alliance Action Fund?
They can support Ohio Women's Alliance. They can go to ohiowomensalliance.org and you can learn everything you need to know there. There also is a section for you to link to our action fund, which is owaactionfund.org. You can follow us on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are also on Twitter. And if you need to reach out to me directly, I am here for you. My email is Rhiannon@ohiowomensalliance.org, where you can reach out to me
That's
directly if
right.
you need
That's right. And we'll put it all in the show notes too. And so that'll be available for everybody. So ohiowomensalliance.org is the website. And you can link to the Action Fund through that website. And it's Rhiannon, Rhiannon, at ohiowomensalliance.org.
That's
And
right.
she said she'll take your emails, y'all. So watch out. Yeah, Lisa, is there anything you want to outro?
I'm just happy you were our first guest. It's like
It's perfect.
it's
So
just
perfect.
luck to us, and
Yes, thank
we've
you so
enjoyed
much.
working with you. We love you.
Thank y'all for just thanking of me and considering me and welcoming me into this space, especially with notes, because she is loud when you
Hey.
heard right now.
It's perfect. It's literally the most perfect thing. You were literally the most perfect first guest in this
Thank
whole
you.
experience. So thank you so much.
Yes,
Yeah.
thank y'all.
All right, go out there and lead, mama.
Yes, thank
Yeah.
you all. Thank you. I hope this inspires someone somewhere.
Oh, it
Yes.
will.
Yes.
It inspired me.
And me. So we got two down.
Thank
Yes.
you. So
All
when you're
right,
when
thank y'all.
Thank you so much.
I see the mothers marching.
See you.
I hear the mothers singing. I feel the mothers grieving. I see the mothers leading. I hear the mothers shouting. I see the mothers dancing. I feel the mothers healing. I see the mothers leading.
Thank you.